judge things from my point of view. The things that we say, the trouble it makes, it hurts you and it hurts me too. This is such a fallen world we live in. It's really not the way it's supposed to be. What if we could see each other different? It'd probably change everything. We're all broken people. Don't we all need Jesus? Every moment of our lives, 24/365, a human is equal. Don't we all have a weakness? Hey. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody needs that grace. We all need Jesus. Don't we all need Jesus?
Everybody needs a savior. Even the ones who think they don't. We got stuff we hide deep down inside. There's so much that we don't show. It's just a wonder world we live in. It's really not the way it's supposed to be. Isn't that the beauty of redemption? It changes everything. We're all broken people.
Everybody needs Jesus, even including me. So y'all give me an amen if you can hear this okay. I have to tell you, please excuse the bot, because the problem is the other bot, which was called Rhythm, and they had another one called Groovy. Those were the main bots. But the Rhythm bot itself was serving approximately close to 28,000 Discord servers. That bot was really a workhorse. That bot was really playing music in over 28,000 servers. But what's been happening lately, people like Rhythm and Groovy, they've been charging members what they call premium fees for extra stuff, for extra applications or whatever. And come to find out, by doing so, was violating Google's and YouTube's terms of an agreement, by that if you get an API number from them to use them exclusively, you cannot charge people for the service. And that's what they were doing. They were charging us, server owners like me, certain fees per month in order to use their bots. So therefore, they were in violation of terms of service. So instead of them just saying, okay, give us a chance, we're going to discontinue premium service and just do it for free, let us keep using you. But no, they didn't want it, so now they all shut down. So the Fredboat bot, which was hardly ever being used, hardly had no load. Well, now can you imagine all those servers that need some kind of music box was now running to these little bitty old bots and trying to get them to play music? So we're not the only ones experiencing that, folks. So that's what's going on. So again, it's Friday night. I am glad that you are here. I'm so ready and pumped up for another message because, you know, we're getting into the groove of things. We're getting into our Bible studies and things is kicking off. I am working on some other things, which I kind of find out some newer things and newer technology. So there's a lot going on, folks. So again, I'm glad that you're here. You know, I see Blaster. I don't know if he's actually here live, but he's not in the room. But, hey, that's okay. You are here. Now, as always, I'm always thinking about next week's message. And already I got next week's message already prepared, and I'm working on it. So again, you know, they come to me sometimes when I'm standing here preaching to you. But I'm sure that many of you, and I know some of you, have seen on the news of the hurricane that recently hit us. And y'all probably seen videos and clippings of all the damage that it has done. I'm telling you, folks, you know, look, I'm not taking nothing away from folks in the Lake Charles and that side of Louisiana. I'm not taking nothing away from other people in Mississippi and Florida and the East Coast of the damages that have been done. A hurricane is not good at all. It does destructive damage and it causes a lot of people damage. But Ida really came through, and let me tell you, it tore us up. You know, I am grateful and thankful. Lisa does, you know, like Thankful Thursdays, I think. I can't remember. But, you know, we post what we are thankful for. And, you know, and I'm thankful that, you know, God did see in his sovereignty to protect us here in this trailer. We live in a mobile home trailer. And it's got tie downs that holds this thing up on blocks. Well, be honest with you, you know, the kind of winds we were expecting had me quite a bit nervous. Because, again, you know, we were going to ride it out. But those destructive winds were most likely going to end up tearing us up too. But God protected us and he kept us out of harm's way. But yet many other people were tore up. But, you know, as we sat here through the night, eventually later on throughout the night, we lost power. And I had some issues with my generator, but eventually I got that worked out. But after the next morning, you know, I was so tired and beat and everything else, I just collapsed in bed and went to sleep. But as I woke up, you know, got my cup of coffee, you know, I was kind of curious how the outside would look. Because, man, we had some real hardcore, close to hurricane force winds here. So I walked outside. And I can tell you, tree limbs everywhere. Pieces of what they call skirting around trailers here and there and stuff like that. I mean, it was a mess, folks. But as I walked to the front, so the study I'm in the main room of the trailer, this is the front room of the trailer because if you went right out through that wall, that's my driveway out there where the road is in a big open field. But as I walked out there, you know, with my cup, you know, early in the morning, sipping on a coffee, looking around at the damage, I happened to look over, well, actually it's that way behind me, which I call east. I saw a big pecan tree down. Now, at first I couldn't see everything because other trees were blocking it. But as I walked down there, I saw that big old pecan tree, it's called a pecan tree. I don't know if some of you know what pecans mean, but here down south we call it pecans. Some call it pecans. I call it pecans, you know. Some make pecan candies out of the pecans, but I got two pecan trees by me right now. But as I walked down there to look at that tree, I saw that big old pecan tree, it had fallen on a trailer. Yeah, Fred, I do, before my diabetes, used to eat a lot of pecan pie, but that's gone by the wayside. But as I went down there and went to look at this tree, I went to look at it because I saw it down. As I started walking, I could see It actually fell across the trailer like this. I said, oh, no. But, folks, let me tell you something. Try to describe this, and you can understand how big this thing was. This pecan tree, I mean, this booger was huge. I mean, big. I am 5'9". Me, that's how tall I am. Unfortunately, you can't see how tall I am on video. I look like, kind of look like a little video thing, but I am 5'9". But the diameter of that tree is wider than me. And the height of that tree, if you had to look all the way to the top, exceeded at least 100 feet. That was a big old pecan tree. And yes, folks, it devastated that trailer. The trailer is built on steel frames. These frames are about this wide and about that tall. The frames are thick on these things. But when it fell on that trailer and it cut through that trailer like a hot butter knife through butter. But what it also did, it bent that frame so bad that the back end of the trailer is like this. It's bent. But what amazed me most of all, as when I was examining that tree, I saw something truly amazing, my friends. Yes, it was. It's sorry that, you know, whoever was living in that trailer, they were spared because they were in the front part of it instead of being in the bedroom where the tree fell. They could have been killed. But I saw something truly amazing. As big as that tree was, I was truly amazed that that tree was standing at all. I really was. Now, you might be looking at me and y'all seen trees before and you probably want, well, why were you amazed that big old tree was standing, Jim? Well, here's the reason why. Inside that tree, as big as that tree was, the diameter of it, it probably, I guess if you had to measure, it's close to 6 feet in diameter. But inside that tree was totally rotten. It was rotten all the way through. And yet the outside of that tree looked as good as a tree should look. When I was staring at this, I was just blown away because, again, as rotten as that tree was, how did that tree ever stand in the first place? It must only had about maybe an inch of good wood all the way around that tree. The rest of it was totally rotten and gone. And when I stared at that tree, it showed me something. Just because something looks good on the outside does not mean it's the same on the inside. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, our friend Lisa, she will post these passages for you. But we're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 28. And look what it reads. And this is Jesus himself talking, my friends. So he says, so you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, thank you again for allowing us to gather together, and thank you for allowing us to have this technology. Thank you for all your love, your kindness, and your support. Thank you for sending blessings to us and watching over us and taking care of us. And Father, as we sit here and stand here and pray, we do ask that all who do not know Jesus and all who may be listening to this message later on audio, if you don't know Jesus after this message, come to Jesus. If you are one of them that's claiming to be Jesus, but you hear this message and you find out you fit this category, come to Jesus. But Father, I ask you to draw them because the word says you do the drawing. And you know who's going to be yours. And you know who is going to reject. I ask of you in the name of Jesus to bless those who are here tonight. They could have done their own little thing. Could have went whatever they wanted to do. But they decided to take time to come here in this little chat room to hear this message. And I ask of you to comfort their hearts, to be with them, strengthen them, lift them up, let them know that you love them, And those who could not make it here for whatever reason it may be, God, you deal with them. That's not up to me. I want to thank you again for giving us the blessings that we have here today. We are fortunate enough to be here and alive today. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you all in the name of Jesus. Amen. And y'all know what I'm fixing to grab. Now, y'all, like I said, I do title my messages, and the message tonight is A Rotten Christians. Now, y'all know I always try to find songs, you know, to try to tie into the message, you know. And I told Sherry last night, we was laughing about this a little bit. I said, you know, I search and search and search YouTube to try to find a song about rotten Christians. And guess what? Couldn't find none. All the songs of Christian songs that you can search for, there's never a song out there about a rotten Christian. I'm like, well, you know, man, I really wanted to find something to illustrate the song to tie into this message. So that was the closest one I can come to that we all need Jesus. So if you're rotten, you do need Jesus. So that's why I used that song. But look, folks, as I just said, sometimes looks can be deceiving. I think you can all agree with me. Sometimes looks can be deceiving. And to me, just like that pecan tree, as big as it was a giant tree that it fell down with that little window we had. Folks, it was looking good on the outside, but totally rotten on the inside. And when I stared at it, and I thought, yep, that can be Christians. You can look so good on the outside, as Matthew 23:28 says. You can look so good on the outside, but in reality, you can be totally rotten on the inside. And that's what Jesus was telling those people. See, on the outside, they looked righteous. They looked religious. They looked like they had it all together, like that big old giant tree. But on the inside, their hearts was just as rotten. Yes, like I said, folks, you can look good on the inside. Look, I look good. Yeah. You can look good on the outside. You're pretending to act right. You're dressing really nice. You give out good impressions that you got it all together. And everyone's impressed by what they see. But really, what is on the inside? Does your outside match your insides? When you claim to be a Christian, does it? When you tell people you're a Christian, when you talk to us in this chat room, you're a Christian, when you pretend and go to church saying you're a Christian, but are you really what you are claiming to be? The way your outside appears, is your inside the same way? You see, folks, you're supposed to go and be the light of God for all to see, to share his words, to be a blessing to others. But here's my thing. Here's what I run into a lot. I think you can relate to this. I'm not sure, you know, if you hadn't, but if you know, me being in the ministry, I run into this a lot. I see this all the time, more so now today than I have in the past. But here's my thing. So-called claimed Christians look good on the outside, but in reality, they are rotten on the inside, and they themselves are just as lost as the rest of the world is because they have never truly changed. They have never changed. Many times, most of the problems may be related. They had never been converted. See, and I think, you know, and I do this a lot, and I have done it a few times, and those of you who go shopping for food, you probably can understand this. But see, just as you see a melon at the supermarket, and it looks perfect. Man, I mean, you look at it, you pick it up, you kind of feel, man, this thing looks good. So you buy it. You take it home and you open it up only to realize it's rotten on the inside. It's sour. It's bad. And yes, that is how some Christians are today. They're fooling the world by looking good on the outside, but their inside is just as rotten as you can see that tree or that melon or any other fruit. Folks, look, make sure your inside matches your outside. Many people think that being religious is the same as being a Christian. Many people think that way. And one of the greatest ironies is that many religious people are, in fact, are not even close to being a real Christian at all. And that's why Jesus called them out. Now, some people might preach, oh, you know, God doesn't do that. Well, you want to bet he did it right there. He called them out. And there's another passage, I can't remember which it is, but it's in Matthew's, but he called them out like, hey, you are whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but your inward side is filthy. Jesus didn't mince words, folks. He told you just exactly what you needed to hear. So to understand the difference, we must look into God's words. And four things I want to point out to you tonight to see what God says about being a true follower of Christ or being a real disciple of Christ is all about. The first thing we need to understand about being a true follower of Christ, a Christian undergoes a radical change or radical life-changing experience. A Christian undergoes a radical life-changing experience. Now, according to scriptures, a root problem is not an external behavior problem. It's the problem of the heart. And this is why all the counterfeit remedies leave us unchanged and in denial or in despair, because they all bypass the heart. How so? Look what Acts chapter 9, verse 17 through 18 says. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Now, folks, here we see Saul of Tarsus went from being a persecutor of Christians to being one of the greatest spokesmen for Jesus. That's a radical change. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is true. Because when I first said yes to Christ, I was doing all the things that a good Christian is supposed to do. I was talking like a Christian. I was acting like a Christian. I was doing things like a Christian. But on the inside, I was still rotten. And then one day, almost a year later, my pastor had me in the office and we were talking, and he was telling me about the way I was conducting myself, the way I was handling myself. He basically did not beat around the bush. And that's why I love him so much. And that's why I love being who I am, because I am not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to tell you just as it is to shake you into reality. And he told me, Jim, there are people around this church that does not like to be around you because you are not claiming what you are. Something's wrong with you. And we had a long talk, but then I realized once he was explaining to me what it meant to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, it was like Paul, those scales lifted off my eyes and I could feel it lifting like it went in through the ceiling. And I felt something and I radically changed. I've never been the same since. And that's what happened to Paul. He had a radical change. But how about Peter himself? He went from being one of the hot-headed people there is, an uncommitted fisherman, to becoming committed enough to give his life for following Jesus. That's a radical change. A real Christian a true blue born again Christian, undergoes a radical change where a religious person is simply trying to be good on their own efforts. Folks, Jesus makes a radical change in our lives. That was his intentions. God wants to change us. The fact is, we need to let him change us. Paul said it best this way. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is radically changed. No ifs, no buts. The second way to determine where a Christian is true or rotten on the inside, well, for us, those of us who are true, a Christian changes because of what God has done on the inside. That's how we determine who's right and who's not. A Christian changes because of what God has done on the inside. How do we know? Look what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Look what it says, folks. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You see, folks, this proves right there, God prefers all to be saved. But many are not saved. We learned a little bit about that last night in our Bible lesson. And this is one of the greatest differences between a real Christian and being a religious one. That's two differences. Being a Christian is the result of an inward change, not an outward action or appearance. You change from the inside out, folks. And God's people have a hard time walking God's ways and following God's command. A lot of them do, because they refuse to allow their hearts to be changed. And the reason is, folks, I'm going to tell you this right now, and I see this happen to many of them, that good works alone does not change us. You can act good all you want, but that's not going to change you. It may look good on the outside, but it's not real on the inside. Only Jesus himself can change us. Only Jesus, not you, not works, not being, you know, helping old lady across the street, this, that, whatever. That is not going to change you. God knew the law, and all his demands could never enable to keep us in God's ways. He knew that the law that was written so many years before Christ, he knew the law could never change them. He knew they never can keep his ways. So being a Christian really is a person who has a radical change. They do a 180. A person in whom God has performed what I call a spiritual heart transplant. A person who now walks in God's ways because they want to. You see, folks, God takes out the old heart and puts in the new one. And now because you got a heart of God, you do radically change. And you do follow what God says to do. And you yearn and you work at it and you say, yes, Lord, I do want to follow you and I'm going to obey you in everything and all things. And if we're not allowing our hearts to be transformed and we are getting still caught up with worldly things, then we got a rotten problem. God wants to redeem us from the course of sin and all its effects. That's what God wants. God wanted to have a personal, intimate relationship with us that can only happen if we have a spiritual heart transplant. That is going to be the only way. There is no other way. The third way to see if we are a rotten Christian or a real Christian is a Christian is someone who sees the need for repentance and is born again. That's a real Christian. They see the need for repentance and to be born again. How do we know this? Look what John chapter 3, verse 3 says. And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, folks, that was the only way, being born again. If you're not willing to be born again, those who are not willing, those who reject, they will never, ever see the kingdom of God. Lisa, real quick, put in John chapter 3, verse 28. And that's the reason why they will never see the kingdom of God. I should have added that, but it just hit me because we touched on that last night. Well, maybe that's not the right one. I meant John chapter 3, verse 18. I'm sorry, folks, but look. Here's what it's saying right there, because again, when Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And this is what John 3:18 is really telling us right here, folks. He says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So here's Jesus flat out telling Nicodemus back then, "Hey, dude, only way you're going to see the kingdom, you've got to be born again. There's no other way." Oh, yeah, we know, I think some of you know who Oprah Winfrey is. She's got a book claiming 50 ways to heaven. Really? I don't know what heaven, but it sure ain't the one I know of. Allah has many ways to heaven, but it ain't the one that I know of. Buddha says, "Rub my fat belly and you get to heaven." Well, that ain't the one that I know of. You see, folks, everybody has different ways to heaven, but the true way to heaven, the true way to the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. So those of us who are born again, we come to a radical, life-changing, spiritual heart transplant that causes a person to be born again. And Jesus used this term in John chapter 3, verse 3. And he talked to Nicodemus, who was a very religious person. And Jesus told him, "I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And I guarantee you that cut through the heart of Nicodemus, because he was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He was supposed to be teaching the Torah. But yet, I bet you any money, he heard the truth of Christ, and he recognized Christ was God himself. But yet he still, in his way, was hanging on to the old ways. He didn't allow God to penetrate his heart. I think he did a little. Who knows? Maybe he was saved. It's hard to say. But I guarantee you heard much of nothing out there until after when Jesus was crucified. And yet he did offer up to get the body and put it in another tomb along with Arminius, or however you pronounce his name. But see, folks, the truth is, we need to allow the truth to penetrate our hearts. And you are a sinner, and you're unable to save yourself. You are lost. You're dying. You're unable to be a good servant to ever warrant the kingdom of God. You can't do it. And unfortunately, many see religious as a better way. But they're not seeing the true way. They see an opportunity to try to be good enough on their own strength as a better alternative than allowing Jesus to change their hearts. They don't want Jesus, but they want heaven. "Oh, I want heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want Jesus." Yeah, because if I accept Jesus, I have to change. No, folks, you ain't got to do nothing. You need to change. Jesus does the changing. You don't. See, they want to believe in their own minds that God will give out heaven to all those who are able to balance out all the bad things with enough good things that they do. And unfortunately, this is not true, folks. You can do all the good things you want, but that's not going to help you. That's not going to save you. You see, it was never, ever God's plan to make us righteous by keeping the law. It never was, because we can't keep the law. Or by good works. Or looking religious. It never was His plan to work that way. God's plan from the very beginning was always and has always been the same. He never changes. We did. God's plan is to make us righteous by our faith in Jesus Christ, who was the perfect sacrifice for sins. And that becomes a key difference between those who are religious and those who are real Christians. One is changed on the outside. The other is changed on the inside. Religious people see repentance as a ritual. Christians see repentance as a way of life. Religious people see their spirituality as something on the outside, while a Christian sees it as something on the inside. Religious people are quick to find a good rationalization for doing what they want to do, and yet they are quick to condemn a true Christian for taking the Bible too seriously. You see, religious people are quick to rationalize that, hey, you know, for doing what they want to do, but yet many of them condemn us for taking the Bible too serious. Well, I don't know what your problem is, but you better take it serious, because guess what? You're going to stand before the Almighty God one day, and you better hope you have taken it seriously. You better. You better. And the fourth thing that we learn, what it makes to be a true Christian, to see if they're true or either rotten on the inside, I love this. A Christian compares himself to the Word of God and not others. We compare ourselves to the Word of God and not other people. How do we know so? Look what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are condemning themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, ooh, look what it says at the end. They are without understanding. Wow. To a Christian, my friends, the Bible, the Word of God, is life and spiritual health. To a religious person, the Bible is a good book that is optional depending on what they think and feel. Wow. See, a Christian compares him or herself to the light of God's Word, where a religious person compares himself to someone else who they think is worse than they are. See, some religious people think they're better than others, and that's how they act. Most religious people see themselves, oh, I'm okay. I'm not too bad. Or they compare themselves as good as anybody. And certainly better than those people. See, that's what religious so-called Christians do. They are rotten to the core on the inside. Now, a real Christian, however, knows the truth. A Christian, a real one, will examine him or herself not on a comparative basis with others, but based on what the Word of God says about them. That's what a real Christian does. They compare themselves to the Word of God, and they, in fact, use the Word of God as a checklist to see if what I am claiming to be lines up with what the Word of God says I should be. Now, I'm not here to put anybody on the spot, but I guarantee if you start examining yourself, you're going to find a lot of faults and flaws and errors and things that need to be corrected. Because again, if you're not submitting to His will and His authority to allow Him to examine you to see if you are rotten on the inside or not, then you got a problem, my friends. Just like that big giant tree, when that little wind came, it broke and it fell. Well, if you are not willing to look on the inside to examine your own heart to see if you are truly a real Christian or not, you're going to have a problem. A real one. You're going to break and you're going to fall. And people's truly going to see why you feel, oh, that dude was rotten. I knew he wasn't real. We base our actions upon the Word of God. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. If you spend enough time with so-called claiming Christians, you might ask, based on their actions, why do you say one thing, but then you act in another way? Why don't you practice what you preach? Firstly, I want to say that not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Some people do awful things and claim they are doing it for God. But that doesn't mean they are all actually Christians. Secondly, people who are Christians, you ready for this? People who are Christians aren't always perfect. None of us are. Christians sometimes do or say the wrong things and they hurt people. Maybe you've been hurt by Christians in the past. And I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that happened to you. If you want to know what being perfect looks like, then you need to look at Jesus. Don't look at me. Don't look at Lisa. Don't look at Beth. Don't look at Fred. Don't look at Denise. Look at Jesus. Why? Because He never messes up or ever gets stuff wrong. He shows us what a perfect life looks like. It means loving God perfectly and loving each other perfectly, even with our flaws. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't live like that all the time. I don't. But I am examining myself and found out it needs to be improved. And I'm working on it. But me, I'm not working on it on my own power. I'm working on it with God's help. I'm allowing Him to transform me, to change me, to make me what I am supposed to be about. A continuous work in progress. Again, I'm not perfect. I made mistakes. But I'm learning from those mistakes not to repeat them. And learn to be more like Jesus. See, being a Christian isn't about pretending to be good. It's about admitting It's about admitting that you are not. That's what a Christian is about, admitting that we are not perfect. And we don't always do the things the right way. See, Jesus says himself, he didn't come for the people who had everything sorted out. He didn't come for them. He came for the people who are messed up. Sounds familiar? Jesus doesn't want us to pretend that we will always do the right thing. He wants us to say sorry for the wrong things that we do. And he says he will forgive us if we do. Becoming a Christian doesn't make you perfect overnight. It does change how you live. Jesus says that when we follow him, we become more like him. We live more like he lived. And we care more about what he cares about. We learn to love God more. And we learn to treat each other better. And sometimes when you see Christians acting in a way that looks hypocritical, it is a great reminder that these are exactly the kind of people that Jesus came to help. The rotten ones, not the good ones. He came to help the rotten ones. For many, they look great on the outside, but they are dead on the inside. And sadly, others will follow their examples. The outward conduct appear well, but their hearts were full of hypocrisy, envy, malice, pride, lust, among many other things. We need to be sure that we ourselves are not beautiful on the outside, and yet rotten and dead on the inside. We need to be careful. We need to make sure. Just as the scripture was supposed to, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. Because we got to be careful. We better be careful not to look pretty on the outside, but yet rotten and dead on the inside. We better be careful. So now you need to ask yourself this question. How much time do we spend on making sure that the inside of our cup is as beautiful on the outside? How much time do you spend on that? Because if we fail to clean the inside of our cups, we are rotten because we are spending all of our time trying to make the outside look good. Because of that, we are truly missing out on what God wants from us. So why pretend to be something that you're not? This you need to know. There are two kinds of pretending. Two kinds. There is a rotten one, which is bad, where the pretense is there instead of the real thing, that they are nothing more than imitators of the world. That's what the rotten one is. They're bad. Their pretense is we're not the real deal. We used to know that commercial back in the 70s, I think, Coca-Cola. Coke is the real thing. And they did like a Coke and Pepsi test. Well, I took that test. So I could still tell what Coke was. Pepsi, yeah. Now, some of you might be a Pepsi lover. Hey, okay. That's another debate. But see, folks, we got to quit pretending. If we're pretending to be Christians, we're rotten on the inside. This is what we are. There are two kinds. Those who say they are Christians, but they're pretending to be a Christian, so they are rotten. Now, there is a good kind. Now, the Bible does say there is no one not good except one. We're not good, but we are righteous. We are made righteous and imputed righteous by what he did for us on the cross through Jesus Christ, where the pretense leads up to the real thing. We are born again. We are the real deal. We're a real person who is not rotten to the core. We were once, but we became something different. Which one are you? Which one are you? So I'll leave you with this. Let's be very careful about what God sees, because nothing is hidden from him. Amen. Let's pray.